Accession number 24195, Reel 4.
Mr. Luff, Reel 4. We're talking about your time on HMS Gore. From October 43 onwards, and we got to when you were at Bermuda. Where did you go next from there?
Well, what I remember next, some American Navy delinquents, or men who were under sentence, were brought aboard, and they were going to travel with us to
Newfoundland, St. John's.
I think we called into Portland. We did go to Portland, Maine on the way, but that might have been different circumstances. But anyway, we finished up in Newfoundland in a place called Argenso. I think that was the name of it. And
anything happened on the trip?
Oh, it was a gal. We had the heaviest weather you ever come across. Even the protection above Aigan, there was a steel protection which stopped the weather eating into B gun that bent that. That's how heavy the weather was. And
what about rolling? Because it's a good time to ask, because they had a reputation that the captain class for rolling. What did you think of their seagoing things, and what was it like in a storm?
Well, you just got used to it. It never used to bother me to that extent. You'd like to be comfortable, but once you got in a bunk, you had straps. Strap yourself in, as cosy as a bug in a rug, like, you know.
The rolling didn't affect you.
Oh, it rolled, it twisted, it turned inside out.
What about when you were up the crow's nest? Because it's even worse up there.
You had a bigger, what's that?
But it was all right. It didn't bother you?
Didn't bother me to that extent, no.
Did it bother some of the men?
Oh, it did bother blokes to go out and last.
I mean the rolling.
Oh, it did. No, blokes did get sick for a lot of the time. You'd had one particular bloke. It'd be sick any heavy weather. We had Dolly Gray, a repatriated prisoner of war, funny thing. We weren't supposed to fight. And he came aboard us. This might have been the latter end of the time, but Dolly played football for Queen's Park, amateur. His uncle was a Lord Provost of Rosyth. Educated at college, all the lot. Torpedoed 5 times. Was in Alexandria and put in a long-range desert group. Proper athletic man. The Navy, a long-range desert group. There was 2 blokes on there and called us, Dent, Shorty Dent and Dolly Gray. And he was captured in Sidi Barani. And he was repatriated because of ill health. Not supposed to be fighting again. Come aboard and the skipper congratulated him. And he says, nothing to do with me, I was just drafted the same as usual. And I last seen him in Portsmouth Barracks. Dolly, and lovely man. Torpedoed 5 times.
What happened from Argentia?
Argentia,
sorry.
We went in there.
You got there about November still, or would it be into December?
A couple of days before Christmas.
So December then?
December, yeah. Christmas. What happened? We left Argentia. It was so cold and bitter, and the wind was bad, the weather was bad. We went round to St. John's. No snow, it wasn't particular snow, it was ice. But the weather turned fine. It was like, brilliant summer, sunshine, but very cold. Anyway, we went in there and it was like a cowboy town, I remember it. Boardwalks and all that. Like, the policemen wore fur helmets. And the people of Newfoundland sent us lovely, because we wouldn't issued any woolen gear, winter gear. All we had was two duffel coats to between the lookouts. We never had no winter gear. And that was that. I got a couple of nice sweaters off the nice young ladies of Newfoundland and that. And I got ashore Christmas Eve. Me and Buckman went to the end of the town, and for my Christmas meal, Christmas Eve, was red leaded, we used to call it, tomatoes and chips. Oh, it's terrible. But there was a hell of a lot of fights. Canadians and Newfoundlanders apparently didn't get on together. There was a lot of fights going on in the town. But it was an experience, and we come back.
You weren't involved in a fight?
No, we're not. It wasn't big enough for a start. Chesil and all them would be. But anyway, come back aboard, thought I'd have a quiet night. Chesil's grabbed hold of me. "I want you," that's how he used to, "I want you." "What do you want, Ches?" "Him and Bill Bedborough." He said, "We're going to put the Christmas tree up the mast." He said, "You like going up top, don't you?" I said, "Not this weather. God, getting out of me bunk." Like, "Come on," he said. "We got you one of the duffel coats." Got me a duffel coat. And we climbed the mast. Me and Chesil went up. Bedford was tying them off and pulling them, coming up. And anyway, we got the Christmas tree up the mast. And when I went for me AB's exercise, the skipper must have took note, because he said, "AB, yes, Luff," he said, "have you done mast? You've been a masthead lookout?" "Oh, of course you have," he said. "I've seen you put the Christmas tree up there." I said, "Yeah." Now that was another big help.
That's when you got your AB. It's very quick, isn't it?
It was.
Tell me about what happened, because you did pass it. Yes. What exactly did you have to do to pass as AB?
All the questions were appertained to seamanship. Because I was brought up on it, like with my father and that, you'd talk about sea and splicing and all that. It was just second nature to you in the family.
Did it make much of a difference when you were made an AB?
No, not really. I'd done the same work, and actually I was going to party most of the time on board the Gore. I was looking after A gun and seeing it was serviced.
Let's look at a typical day then on the Gore. You know, take us through it from
Shall I be honest? All the skiving you used
yes.
to do.
I want to know what really happened on a typical day.
Well,
on the Gore,
if you was good at your job, which I was, and I was friends with the ordnance artificer, I used to go report to the gunner's party first thing in the morning, and then I'd go to A gun and I'd make sure all the points were greased, like antifreeze all used, everything like that, polish what needed to be polished, clean the gun deck, do everything what's appertaining to that. We used to have a breech cover, and then another cover we used to just over halfway up the gun. And I sit underneath there. I started smoking at the time, have a smoke, and old Bishop used to come up and we used to have a chat. And then from there, we'd go and load a few Oerlikon magazines. And
so you do that just to help the Oerlikon team?
Oh, yeah. It was two strip Lewis on the bridge. We used to take them, make sure they worked. And
How would you load taking one thing at a time, how would you load the Oerlikon magazines? Where would you get the...
We used to be in the clipping room behind the guns. That's a B gun. There was what we used to call a clipping room there. All the magazines was on the pin of the deck at the no, I shouldn't say wall, it's the bulkhead. They'd all be up round. And you'd fill them. You'd have your load of Oerlikon shells, 20 inch one, or whatever.
20 millimetre.
Your 20 millimetre, yeah. And we used to load up.
How would you actually do it? I mean,
they was on the bench and pressing them in against the spring, if I remember rightly, and that was that.
But now what about, would you check the Oerlikon and clean the Oerlikon guns, or would that be down to the Oerlikon?
No, that would be down to the Oerlikon gun.
What about the checking and cleaning the Lewis guns on the bridge?
Oh, I used to be with Jim Douglas used to do that. He was the artificer, he knew all the fancy parts. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you one time, the strip Lewis jammed on the bridge and he brought it down. I was sitting in the clipping room, probably loading some magazines, and he threw the gun in. And it went off. And we all stood looking at one another, dumbfounded.
That was just... you would normally deal with the Lewis guns.
No, I didn't touch the Lewis guns. If I went with him, it was to carry it around and take it off its mounting. But as far as stripping it and that was down to Jim.
Now, how else would you spend your day, a typical day at sea?
I was still a seaman. If they wanted me any part of ship or that, but mainly...
Would you do much cleaning ship?
Scrubbing your mess deck, isn't it?
Tell us about that.
The funny thing, our decks down below were like a mastic. Sort of. So when you scrub them, you got a certain amount of dye come up it was like a porous deck and that type of shit. And so it was rather a mess when you started scrubbing out.
How did you use, what did you use to scrub it with? I mean, was it a scrubbing brush or a...
Scrubbing brush, yeah, and you couldn't use a squeegee on it. Well, you could do, but still a mess.
A hands and knees job then?
No, long arm brooms and scrub, get the mops out and then dry it all off. It used to be clean, but as I say, it was a porous deck. It was a mess. Yeah.
And any other duties?
But when you take it, you were standing by the gun 4 hours a day.
Now, what was that? That was on the watch.
On watch.
Explain the watch system for us, just for them.
Every third 4 hours, there was 3 watches. So every third watch, every third, you had 8 hours on, 4 hours off. 8 hours off, 4 hours on. Then 8 hours, 4 hours again. So every third, but in different climbs, you was watch on, watch off. And 4 hours on, 4 hours. So you never had a lot of time you was standing by the gun. You was up on the gun. I had the headphones on, and in that 4 hours, I'd do our lookout.
So for 3 of the hours, what would you be doing?
3 of the hours? What, on the gun or what?
On the gun. You were on watch.
We'd been known to play cards if we was...
Would you have to stand by the gun?
No.
Where were you then?
If as the gun was open, never had no protection, I think, we used to wear a goon suit, which was issued later when we got back to UK.
I'll come back to that, yeah.
We never had no protection at all. We never had no winter gear. We had a donkey jacket, like a duffel jacket coat between lookouts, and that was all. So we had our own overcoats, actually used our own walking shore overcoats, what we was using, and the oilskins. And
where would you actually stand? Not on the gun then. Where would you be?
No. You would, all depending on the weather, you'd be outside the gun, leaning against the rail, chatting, and, wasn't the rail, it was the surrounded the gun, and you'd chat, providing the weather was right. But if it was heavy and you was closed up, B gun was the gun you closed up, you was copping all the sea. So what you did, you went behind the gun in the clipping room. And it was down to trade. At the early part, I used to have to stand up with the earphones on. But later on, it got so that I could plug in inside or take the wire around the back of the... They used to allow that. And we'd sit there for 4 hours chatting. Trader used to tell us his brother-in-law had a VC, Turbine, or one of the submarine aces. Something his sister had married, yeah. And used to tell us all these tales, pre-war Navy, but what he'd done early part of the war. He said some of the things, early commando sort of things, Trader was. He'd tell you all tales like that, and Chesswood. We'd talk about one upmanship. Chesil was on Russian convoys. He'd have to be that. Bishop was on the famous ship, Bishop. And he'd tell you all the stories, make your hair stand on him, especially with the cold in it. He got torpedoed and he was picked up in the northern hemisphere. But there was never a dull moment, you believe me.
So you'd basically just be, a lot of the time, in this clipping room, just chatting,
yeah.
Who would you play cards much in there?
No, not really. You know the favourite game on board ship? Ludo, which we used Uckers. To call Uckers. And you can say, you know what rhymes with Uckers, and they used to call out, Uckers, you! And we used to get organised to that. And that used to go on and on, Uckers. That you'd finish your meal and the Uckers board would come out and we'd play and laugh and blokes would get upset over a game of Uckers. You'd be amazed.
Did you play for money?
Yeah, coppers, nothing was substantial. But that was it. That was the
and moment. You played?
Yeah, I played.
What was
Uckers.
So good about it? Because Ludo doesn't. I mean, you don't play much now.
When
do
you
they?
Get 3 or 4 blokes arguing about it and what went with it, oh. I done this, I done that, you never see that, and die. The argument's terrible. It's the only thing you had to do, like. Yeah.
Did you have any card school going on? You know, Crown and Anchor. I know Crown and Anchor wasn't allowed.
There was a game called Priest of the Parish, an old Navy game.
What was that? Because I don't know that one at all.
They used to sit round and have their parts to say. They used to have their own names. I'm Father something, very rude names they used to have. And they used to have their set pieces to say. And it was called Priest of the Parish, and I see it played a few times. Chesil used to organise it. And that was an old Navy game.
Anything else?
No, I can't think of anything. But we had a 80mm camera on board, didn't we? What the Yanks provided. We could, over two messed-up tables, we could get a picture on the wall of the latest films we used to get. And that passed time. Matter of fact, I'll tell you that line later.
But you actually had a cinema then?
Yeah, cinema, yeah.
And were they the latest films, you know, sort of 1943, 4?
Well, they were pretty latest, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We did some marvellous films, yeah.
Yes. Well, where would you get the films from? I mean,
you would swap them amongst yourself. But in the meantime, you was going to places like Gibraltar was 5 days away. We'd call in at Gibraltar and never swap. Or you'd come across a Yankee ship and they'd provide them. Belfast was full of Yanks at one time, and you'd always.
What were the most favourite films? I mean, what did people like to watch best? I mean, what were westerns very popular, or musicals?
No, I can't say.
Or war films?
Sophisticated films. I think war films was a good buy. But I can remember Fred Astaire going down well, which you wouldn't think, but very good. Fred Astaire. At that time, he was favourite. Yeah.
Would they show instructional films as well?
I can't say they did. I did have a lot of them in barracks. We used to go in, put the old nose clip on and shove us into the drink, and we used to go down below. You used to go in one area in the tank, and then you'd come out the top area, all that. Used to have things like you're talking about training. I can remember now. We used to go in what they called the dome. And for all intents and purposes, you manned a machine gun or a hooligan. And you got behind it, and out of the blue came a German aircraft, Dornier, whatever. And it was diving all out junkers mainly, falling on top of you, and you was firing it. And it was reaction drill or whatever. We had all that.
When was that?
That was in Pompey Barracks. They had a dome in there. But they also had, in different areas, used to have this tank where they used to shove you in the bottom, and you had to come out the top with your nose clip on and not panic.
Now, we were talking about recreations, really. Did you have a library? By library, I mean a collection of books.
We could get books, yes. Tanky, our butcher, used to get books for us. If you wanted books, there was always books about.
Were you a big reader, or...?
I've always been a steady reader, but I used to like Conan Doyle at the time, his historical books, Rodney Stone and books like that. Oh, I used to love him. Not Sexton Blake.
Not Sherlock Holmes, you mean, yeah.
Sherlock Holmes. So his little knight. Yeah, Sir Nigel, yeah. I used to love him.
So you'd do a fair bit of reading?
I did at the time, yeah.
Did they have any firms on board? You know, by firms, I mean, you know, Dobie, people taking photographs, Dobie Wallers, and it's a small ship, but did you have any of that?
No, not really, no.
Would you write home? What about letters to and from home?
If you see my last letter I wrote my mother, it would be the same as the first. Just a few lines to let you know I'm doing okay. I'm a very bad letter writer. If I wrote a letter, that all it was to me brother Charlie out in Alex, I used to be the same.
So you had a formula, basically. Yeah. You just wrote.
Yeah, just basically, I'm doing well, Mum. Happy as a sand boy. Nothing's happening these days. And never worry, Mum.
Were letters from home important to you? You know, I mean, the letters you got back. What would there be? Would there be more to them?
Mum wasn't a very good letter writer, but she let you know the news, Aunt Ethel done this, Aunt Meg done that, because they was all evacuated together later on. And I used to go down to see him, Ashford in Essex. I was evacuated there.
So you'd get letters. Would you get parcels from home?
No. It was the other way around, really. I used to bring parcels home. Cigarettes. Dad used to be waiting there, and Uncle Tom would be there. What's my gym boy brought me home this time? How many Churchill we went? Because it was all good cigarettes, wasn't it? Churchill, Benson and Edges. It wasn't just... Woodbines were the best. They were the biggest. Fulton's opened me for 20. And...
Did you have a cigarette ration then?
Used to have a quota, but that was tobacco tins. On our mess deck, before I started smoking, you could have half-pound tins of tobacco laying all around the mess deck. You could roll cigarettes to your heart's content. And there was no... All it was false draft, and there was no portholes, just like being in a submarine.
So why didn't people just roll the tobacco into cigarettes?
Because they would get better cigarettes, what they thought was better cigarettes. I finished up rolling my own, actually.
Did you start while you were in the Navy?
Yes.
What made you start?
Well, everyone done it. And I found cigarettes was relaxing, I suppose. And I know one time I wouldn't go ashore without 40 cigarettes. But it wasn't just me to smoke. It was to buy me way into dance halls and anything like that, to be in favour. They used to look forward to matlows. Got any cigarettes, Jack, and all that lot. And we used to, the doctors used to pay us for them. 6 months a packet was the players and all that, and you'd get a shilling off a doctor for them. And, it was 3 pints then, those, when it falls a pint.
Now, what about food on board ship? What was the messing system? Was it?
We used to have canteen messing, which is, I think, if I'm right, we used to provide our own, prepare our own meals for Sam to cook. We used to get our meat off the tanky, which was the butcher. And we used to design our own meals, what we was going to have, and that'd go on for a week. It all depending what.
So you'd have a cook of the mess?
Cook of the mess, yeah. I'd be one day, Bishop would be next, and all that lot.
And what would you prepare? I mean, who would choose what you'd prepare? Would you have a killick decide?
Between us, you'd decide the menu. And it was up to me to get a menu for that day. And I see Sam cooked it well and brought it down on the mess deck.
How would you prepare it? Do you see what I mean? I mean, would you prepare a sort of a stew or a joint or something for the cook?
Mainly I kept the joints and all that like. So that
not pies then?
I used to be well in with Sam up top. I had to do this, Sam, and he'd say, put a bit of this on there and slap it on. That goes in. Come back in a couple of hours. He said, that'll be done. I used to take it down. Baked spuds, put all the baked spuds around them, innit? And
so you didn't do it. Did some of them make? I mean, some of the old sailors were meant to make nice pies and things that.
They would. Yeah, you'd get the older type, mate. Stanley was the oldest, 34, and we looked upon him as old. And he was into everything like that. He'd love to make a meal of anything.
So he would do a proper pie.
Yeah, he'd do anything. Butcher was another one who used to.
But you were just joint.
I was a joint man. If they had me, it was a joint. Or chops, or whatever was going on.
Something easy.
Yeah, easy. No problem.
Did any of them do puddings? I mean,
if we had puddings, we had them in tins, I think, if I can remember. And that's how puddings were prepared. Of course, it was too much for a cook to do on his own.
Was the food good overall?
Food was good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, you never starved.
How about a bit too much of things like pilchards and things like that? Would you get fed up with some things?
A friend of mine, we used to have so many pilchards and mustard pickles left over in our lockers, in our canteen locker, that Arbery had the bright idea, he was a West Country boy, to take them ashore and flog them. And everyone agreed, take all the pilchards, take the red lead, tomatoes, juices and all that, take them. Anyway, Arbery was a West Country lad, and I always remember he had the big sack and taken it ashore, but what happened, a police customs stopped him, and he didn't realise it was all right, it was Navy, he had permission, he ran into the flour mill, and we come up, and Arbery's coming down with a what's the name, each side of him. And they've got hold of him. And he's covered, and the three of them are all covered in flour. And anyway, he's saying, I've got permission. And they say, come on over here. But anyway, Bishop was leading there, and then he stepped in. He said, no, he's our mess. He's got permission. You can phone up the ship and get the first lieutenant, who's our officer. And they did. And anyway, Arbery just panicked, like, you know, see the officials, and that was his luck.
What about the rum ration? I mean, you'd get that when you were... You were allowed it, though, after you were 18, though, weren't you?
No, 20.
So you never got that?
I got it at the finish, the last month. But what happened is they used to barter. We used to have sippers and gulpers.
Can you tell us what those things are? Because people don't know now.
Sippers used to be... A man who drew his rum used to say, do my colours, Jim, if I was going up the... Do me dobe in, like, you know, having a shower and do me dobe. Do a couple of collars for us. I'd say, cost you. What? Two sippers. That meant a couple of sippers of his rum. Or I might say, gulper, and I'd have a swallow. And that's how you bargain. So I knew all about rum before I was 18, 19. So we was bargaining in rum.
What was it like? I mean, because they don't really
lovely.
Sell it like that,
do they? Lovely. Always, properly. Yeah. Stuff, it's really good stuff, the rum. Oh, I used to bring my time, my dad, he loved it. Oh, there's nothing like Navy rum, Jamaican. Yeah.
Did some of the men try and keep it, store it? Because on some ships you could store it.
We used to make a perique of tobacco, you know what that is, don't you? We used to
have. Can you explain that as well?
That was tobacco leaf, which was issued in lieu of tobacco in tins. That was tobacco leaf issued. By weight, I suppose, but used to be spread out, and chaps used to sprinkle it with rum and then roll it in canvas, tie it with there's a name for the cord they used to wrap it in, just like a hammock it finished up, and it was called a prick of tobacco. And when it come out, it was just like do you remember twist? That was what they called an old back and forth of war. They used to cut it. And that's how it come out. And I used to smoke that, and that was lovely smoke, I reckon. Yeah.
Did you ever smoke it?
I might have tried it, but it wasn't my kind of thing. I went for the woodbines mainly.